Welcome to the Knowledge Chamber. I'm your host, Robert Hess. Now, with the PDC, we talked an awful lot about developing great applications. One of the aspects of developing great applications is having tools to assist you in that. One of the problems some developers have is understanding the multi-threaded capabilities their applications might be encountering and the concurrency issues they might be having. Here to talk with us about one of the tools that is being in development right now is Mudan Musavathi. Eventually I'll get your name right. Okay. Mudan Musavathi.
Mudan Musavathi.
Okay, well, you say it really good. I'll pretend I did. And Sebastian Burkhardt. Now, I understand you've got a tool that your team has been developing for a while to help people understand some of the concurrency issues they might be having in their application. Now, and we've talked a couple times in episodes about parallelism and how, especially with the new modern multi-core systems, we need to take and pay attention to our applications as well as the operating system and taking advantage of that. Concurrency, is that the same thing as parallelism?
It's somewhat related. So concurrency is more about handling non-determinism from the environment, where you are trying to process messages coming at different times, like timers firing, and where your application has to be very latency sensitive, like your Windows applications. When you move your mouse, the mouse cursor has to move, and that is you need like a lot of concurrency to make sure that your applications respond to latency as much.
So on one hand, you want to make sure that the UI thread is giving the user good feedback, but at the same time, you also want to make sure that any network traffic happening or application will respond to is capable to do the pop-ups.
And also all the computation that's going on in the background, right? Applications have to do a lot of work, not just respond to the UI. So it's sort of like, it's more wholesome. You have to respond to user input, you have to do your computations, you have to respond to your I/O, and you have to respond to events from the network.
And this is applicable even on non-multi-core systems. If you've got a single CPU and you're writing a multi-thread application, you still are going to have a concurrency issues that you need to take and address.
That's very true. Concurrency is very core part of any computer that you would see or any application that you develop. Yeah.
Now, in the tool that you guys are kind of in the process of putting together right now, how exactly does it address those issues?
So we have two tools that we presented at BDC last year. One is called CUZ for concurrency fuzzing, where we are trying to force applications towards race conditions. So in sort of making it much easier to find these errors that are otherwise very hard to find.
Does that mean you're actually going and managing a thread pool or?
Essentially, that's what we are doing. It's not just the thread pool. We actually control all aspects of concurrency. We know exactly how to interleave the threads, how to assign jobs to the thread pools, and when timers fire. So we sort of control all the timing and the interleaving, and we have an algorithm to actually force the application towards bugs.
So you're actually loading the application. Same way, if I was writing a network application, I'm going to take and artificially load the network application with presumed network tasks.
We're trying to disturb as little as possible, but just enough to find the bug. If we left it completely alone, you wouldn't be no better off. You wouldn't find problems. So we're trying to delay the timing or change the timing in such a way to just expose those bugs.
Now, is this the sort of tool that all developers out there should be using? And be aware of that sort of standard. I mean, concurrency, it sounds like it's going to be a kind of a tough problem in understanding how the issue might apply to an application.
So I think there's a relatively simple way to determine if you want this tool or not. So if you spend any time trying to find out if your concurrent program is working, and if you find yourself repeating your test over and over because you have noticed that it fails maybe 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000, or 1 in 1,000,000, then you're definitely in a situation where you want to use this tool.
Or if it's failing for users, but never failing for you at all.
Exactly.
I can't reproduce that bug.
Exactly.
It's an interesting thing with probabilities. Like 1 in 1,000,000, might escape your test, but if you ship this to users, it will definitely be found.
The more users you have, the more chances that they will find your bugs.
Well, then just don't have any users. It fixes the problem right there.
That's true. But doesn't bring you bread.
So let's say I'm a developer and I've developed an application and I'm having some race conditions. I'm having some concurrency bugs. How do I notice that? How does it kind of, it doesn't kind of say, hey, you just had a race condition, this thread blew up or something like that. How do
That's a great question, and it's also the distinction between the two tools we're talking here. So the first tool we're talking about doesn't actually look for bugs specifically. It just tries to disturb the application. And in whatever way the application failed before, it's still the same way. Say it crashes or returns an error code or some pop-up window saying there was an internal assertion violation, something like that. Now, the other tool, the race detection, actually does a little more. So it actually checks for something called a data race, which is a well-defined idea, and it reports you specifically on what variables in the programs data races were detected.
Yeah. And a data race hints at a potential concurrency problem in the code. And it's almost always, something that the user should look at, the developer should look at, to make sure that, you know, there are no issues with that particular data race.
Because, you know, for the most part, when you've got variables that are being set and examined in different parts of your application, you've got threads setting this up, that's what you're trying to develop your application for. But if those values aren't being set at the right time or being triggered at the wrong time, that's when the problems arise.
It's sort of under concurrency, you're not allowed to access a variable simultaneously with different threads. So if you do, then something about your synchronization isn't quite right.
Okay. Well, why don't we take a look at the demo, kind of see how it actually applies to a development process.
Yeah, perfect. I'm going to demonstrate one of the tools, Cuz. As we talked before, it's a tool that you use to expose race conditions in your program. And so let's say I'm actually in a directory of a product called Dryad. What Dryad does is not very important today, other than the fact that, you know, it has lots of code and, you know, it has lots of concurrency issues. And so typically one of, so what I'm going to do is that it's going to look at this particular test, which is called simple channel test. This is very similar to some of the tests that, you know, a developer or a tester might write, where you create a bunch of threads, do some activity in your product, and, you know, check a bunch of things, right?
I'm seeing a lot of things on
that's a nice thing. Like, you know, it actually gels a lot with developers and testers because they say, oh, okay, this is how my tests look like. And so one of the things is they can keep running it again and again. It seems to work perfectly fine. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to run it in a for loop 100 times, okay? And, you know, it seems perfectly fine, but I can actually tell you that, you know, there's a race condition in this program. And in fact, we did some experiment where we ran this on a 8-way cluster, and one in
so you can run this 240,000 times without seeing the bug, and then the next time you actually see it. So that's what we saw in the cluster.
Yes, and that does not mean the next time you run 300 times, you're going to see the bug. You know, so they are very non-deterministic. So we have developed a tool called Cuz, and one of the things that we tried very hard to is to make sure that it's very easy to use. For example, you don't need to recompile your application to run the tool. The only thing you need to do is once you have a binary, you inject Cuz into the executable. So let's say simple channel test. I'm going to run this program called setDLL, and what it's going to do is going to look at the import address table of the binary and then create an artificial dependency on Win32 Cuz. So now whenever you run this program, you're going to load this DLL, and now once the DLL main of Win32 Cuz is called, we sort of take complete control over your thread interleavings. Now the OS or the hardware does not decide how the threads interleave, we decide how the threads interleave, and that's how we are able to force the system towards race conditions. So now, every time you run the test, we are actually doing the thread interleaving. And you can see that, if the demo works, if I run it 100 times, you'll actually see bugs showing up.
Here it is.
Oh, here we go. You saw that the simple channel test has stopped working. So there was actually a race condition that our tool was able to force. And just to make sure, just to explain what is happening, I actually modified the test to print out something here. You see that a particular thread is accessing a very bad looking pointer.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happened was there was a race condition. One thread was trying to use an object while another thread actually freed it. and that forced this race condition. And when you ran the test again and again, you just, like, you know, the test was very lucky that you, this race condition did not show up. When you ran it with cars, it immediately...
You don't have to be quite so lucky. So this fails about 12 times in 320 runs.
Yes, exactly.
Which is an improvement of 7,800, the factor.
Yeah.
So in easy terms, like, one day of stress testing now takes 11 seconds.
So, yeah, this is the second time we found the bug. Mm-hmm. And the way the tool works is it actually uses a randomized algorithm. So every time you run, it's going to look at the current time of day and your machine ID and to create a random seed, and then use that random seed to determine which of the many interleavings to explore. And so there's actually a probability with which we'll find the bug. And that's why I'm confidently giving you the demo, because every time the random seed is different, but since because of our probability guarantees, you know, you can see that, you know, we'll always find the bug.
Now, in this particular case, this sample application, was it developed specifically to illustrate this problem, or was this code that just happened to have this problem?
That's real code.
It's real code.
Just happened to be there, had this bug, so we didn't make this up. This is the real example.
Yeah, so this is a real application with a real test. And the important thing was that, you know, you didn't have to recompile your application. You just inject the DLL, and then you can use your existing test infrastructure. So there's no change to your build process or your testing process. Mm-hmm. You just have to figure out a way to inject this DLL, and then our tool gets it. Okay. You know,
so working. We've got an application now that is failing, and we saw the failure come in. As a user, I mean, I could be doing the exact same thing. I could run your application, I'd see that failure, but that doesn't get us any closer to actually fixing the problem. Once the failure happens, how do we fix the problem?
So that's a very good problem. It's not the problem this tool is solving. So we picked out a very specific thing that you're trying to solve here, which is not what you just mentioned. Mm-hmm.
And the one nice thing with our tool is that we can actually reproduce the bug a lot more often than in practice. You saw that there was this bug that showed up only one in like 300,000, 400,000 times, and here it showed up one every like 10, 11 times. So that actually gives you better chances for you know, hooking your debugger on to see what's
So very
happening.
Often the big obstacle to the fixing is that if something only fails one after 3 days of running in the lab, that makes it very difficult to fix. Mm-hmm. So if you can force it to fail much sooner, you're in a better position to fix it too.
Okay. Okay. Now you said you had two different applications you're working on, this as opposed to the race condition.
Yes.
How does that work?
So we don't have a demo for the other one, but I can give you a quick description. So very similar to this, you run your original application without changing anything about your setup or your test, but it will this time not crash the program, but it will report in a file what data accesses were found to be data racy. And you can then have you can inspect that file and figure out what does that mean in terms of my program, and is it a problem or not? And what do I need to do? And depending on what kind of concurrent programs you're writing, you know, just giving you a very quick pointer to one line of your source code can immediately reveal a problem that you weren't aware of.
So it's actually helping you find where the problem occurred.
It's pointing you at a specific line in the source code. So that's very different from what you just saw. Mm-hmm. And the hope is that, you know, in particular for parallelism, I think, for things where people are encouraged to use parallelism in existing sequential program, I think it's very easy that people accidentally introduce race conditions when they do that. So that's sort of our scenario that we really want to get at with this tool.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and tools like this, I mean, where are these going to actually affect developers moving forward? When are they going to have access to something like this? Is it going to be like part of Visual Studio thing or part of Expression?
I think, at this point, so we both are Microsoft researchers. Our goal is to solve really hard problems and build prototypes. And what you saw is something, you know, slightly better than a prototype. We usually do not,
I don't think we can say how this is.
It's not your job to bring this to market.
Exactly.
It's our job to work with people on that, but we can certainly not tell you now how this is going to work.
So we're still discussing what's the best way.
There's several options. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. So right now it's basically an internal tool that we're kind of using to kick the tires of and find out how it works for us.
You know, so we have a relationship with several product teams, and then we want them to apply the tool and to see, you know, in what ways we can improve the tool. Mm-hmm. And once we have some experience, I think then we would like to make it available to our customers.
Mm-hmm. And so your main focus then is on identifying tools for concurrency issues specifically or tools for developers in general?
Well, in our group, we are for developers in general, but our personal, you know, specialty is concurrency bugs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So our group is called Research in Software Engineering, and we focus on all aspects of software engineering. And I think we personally, Sebastian and I, we particularly focus on concurrency tools.
That's your pet project.
Yeah.
And you just see tools like this becoming more and more popular and commonplace moving forward?
That's our main goal. Yeah, we believe it is definitely an important thing a developer should have in his, like, you know, mm-hmm. in their tool portfolio. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to actually make it available to them.
Mm-hmm. And also, do you think that developers are going to be, through these tools, be more in your face about concurrency, or do you see the tools as developing to such a point where they're actually identifying and solving the problems for the developers, that developer really doesn't have time to think about concurrency. He's just developing his application, and this is saying, hey, you know, just pay attention to this variable and how you're accessing it, and so forth.
Yeah, I think that the goal is actually to remove the stigma from concurrency, in the sense that if you have a tool that can help you work with it, it should be just another programming technique. It shouldn't be this fundamentally difficult, impossible thing that we don't want to touch.
You don't have to take and stop down development, bring in the concurrency experts to take and work on your application. Right. They do their magic
exactly.
And then walk away.
Right.
I mean, I think if we can deliver these tools, eventually everybody can be an expert. I don't think it should be reserved. And I think that doesn't work either, because I see people all over the place who have fun with concurrency and go and try out new things. And I really want to help those people to get the job done right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hopefully that gave you some insights on how you can take and apply the knowledge of concurrency to your applications, and before long you might see tools like this in your toolbox.